Morty's Devils, the podcast, is the edited version of the limited run Dungeons & Dragons 5e actual play of the same name.
One man has alone stood against both sides in his effort to maintain the balance and thus preserve all life as we know it. We have known peace for a time. That peace is now threatened. Unable to do it alone, he has brought together an elite group of tieflings who all have a stake in the battle. They are called Morty's Devils.
And we're back. Took 11 minutes there. I hope that you stuck it out with us. It's pretty hot here in Calgary in my study right now playing, but I'm hoping you're having a hot, good time. And I don't normally start with this, but the first thing I'm going to talk about is player safety, because it is one of the most important things when you're doing this sort of shared, collaborative, imaginative headspace. It is very important to recognize the nonverbal signals of your friends and cohorts at the table. Sometimes when you start to panic, you can't even hit an X on your keyboard. You can't even throw up the hand sign because you're caught, and you want to impress people. You want to be there in the moment, and you're falling out of it. And it is our responsibility as fellows at the table, and especially as the dungeon master, to see those signs and have strategies in place already to save and salvage that moment. We don't want to embarrass anyone. We don't want anybody feeling so bad that they don't feel that they can come back to the table later. Let's push the table aside. Let's turn the Twitch stream off however long we need to, and resolve the difficulty as we can in the moment. And honestly, folks, tonight I would have just turned the entire stream off so that I could have had a sit down and a chat with my player. I couldn't do that because I had two other players that wanted to play, and I think that other player didn't really want to talk about the problems in the scenario. So I soldiered on and said, let's turn the stream back on, and invited Rich to join us. I don't recommend that for your table games. If somebody's having a problem at the table, turn the game right off, because we're friends first. That's always the most important piece. And at the end of the day, I want to make sure that I have a relationship and a friendship with the people I'm playing with, because I want to sit down at the table with them and play again later. And if we can't do that, I still want to be able to go to a movie or hit them up on rabbit.tv and watch something together, and still share in that familial camaraderie that friends have. It's friends first, game second, performance third. With that said, thank you so much to those of you who stuck through in chat for our break and for this very, very slapdash sort of adventure today. Thanks for bearing with us for that sort of those things that happen. And I'm glad you're still here. Thanks as well to the Phantom Roll Booth for hosting us and giving us this venue to create these games and find a shared collaborative headspace where we can imagine things on a Friday night when we don't have anywhere else to go, or a new movie to go see. I'd be remiss, though, if I didn't thank my players for putting their trust in me to create a game and giving them opportunities to shine and show how beautiful they are as creative, collaborative performers. So I will now, after thanking them, turn the game back on and turn the story back over to them and let them introduce themselves one final time as we come back from break. Let's start it off with Fennec.
Hey, I'm Fennec. You can find me at the Fennec Wolf on Twitter and just about everywhere else. And also thank you to Kyle, because without a DM, we'd just be three people without somebody wrangling us along for the story, which is very important.
And Velvet.
Howdy, everyone. I'm Velvet, she, her. You can find me on the interwebs at OG Brown Sugar or some variation of that. Once again, thank you to Kyle and Fennec and Kip, for just making this so much fun. And you can find me at Stories of a Broken Sun, Flight Risk, and What the Force is Fangirls audio drama.
And Rich.
Hi, I'm Rich. I use he, him pronouns. You can find me at Quixotic, K-W-I-K-S-O-T-I-C, on most social media. And you can also hear me in Fangirls. And Fangirling episode 4 just came out, and you can hear me on that as well.
Woot!
Awesome. Well, we ended with Pam suddenly awakening with a start. Her beehive wobbles back and forth. Her MC Hammer parachute pants flutter with the breeze or something and then sink back down. And she comes to with a gasp. I didn't get any Twitch chat offers of a voice, so I'll throw it to my players. What is the voice of Pam? Or accent.
I don't know if it's too very distinctive, but I'm feeling like Tilda Swinton.
Love me some Tilda Swinton.
Any other options?
I was going to say Eartha Kitt, but pick either. They're both fun.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could do Eartha Kitt, but I will attempt Tilda Swinton. Oh my goodness. That is a whole character of her own.
Kind of.
She snaps to. Her face does not show any expression at all. Her face hardly even moves. It looks like it's made out of plastic, but you can feel the rage and anger emanating from her eyes as she opens her mouth and says, "I did not wish to be awakened."
What?
Do you know how long it's been since I slept?
But like, all these other people are asleep.
You're right, of course.
So, like, your name is Pam, but it's also The Awakened?
It's a title. My name is Pam. Please call me Pam. My counterpart must be awake, then?
Probably.
Indeed.
Do you have a way of finding?
I know where they are. I can sense them. It's a thing.
Excellent.
They are here in Neverwinter, of course.
Makes sense.
Do you happen to know where in Neverwinter?
Yes. Who are you and what are your names?
Kip.
Morty's Devils, Melancholy at your service.
Morty's Devils? I've never heard of such a thing. And you, Armored One?
Apollyon. And since I'm holding the broken pieces of the mask in my hands, I'm going to slip them through the eye holes on the horns and just wear them as trophies. Warnings to the other masks.
The masks have all crumbled into dust, but yours remains. For some strange reason, the eye holes of the mask are still, and the whole thing is still there, although it is cracked and broken, and the feather has crumbled to dust. Yes, the two sides of the mask have been laid across your horns. I love it. That's great. Just to remind you all, you probably can't see it. I don't know if you're watching on Twitch, but you all have the blue die of inspiration, and have had it since the start. Hasn't been a ton of die rolls. There will be some to come, so be aware and noticed that you have these dice in front of you.
Yo.
Okay.
Yo, Maria.
Yes?
What's Pan's favorite drink?
Fennec, what is a drink that could be somebody's favorite drink?
Sidecar.
A sidecar?
It's like a bourbon-based drink. I know that much.
Oh, okay. A sidecar is literally a smaller cup of something that's brought to a normal drink that you then pour into it. So that's funny. I love it. But it's some sort of a sidecar of bourbon. Let's go with that. She just likes the sidecar of bourbon and doesn't order any other part of the drink. Perfect.
A sidecar of bourbon.
Is that right, Pam?
I've worked with her for years.
She got it. That lady is good.
She looks at you once, twice, 3 seconds go by. She does not break your gaze, nor does she speak. She just stares at you, Kip.
So,
Pam, do you think you could lead us to your counterpart?
Fine. Laraz is at the Driftwood Tavern. At least that's where Laraz was sleeping last I knew of his positioning. Come with me.
They've got excellent burgers there.
She gets up, stumbles a little, and her Triton form then carries her tall beehive and MC Hammer pants out of the inn. Yep, with the gold cape fluttering behind her.
Does she take the mechanical arm?
She does not take the mechanical arm. The mechanical arm is not there at all. May have been an element of her dreaming.
I wanted that.
Of course. course you did. The rocket raccoon inside of you always wants the mechanical appendage.
I just collect body parts in every game I've been, I've noticed.
Yes, collect them all. Do you step outside with Pam, or do you...
Yes. Mal will wave goodbye to Apollyon's mother. Very nice to meet you.
Run out. Come back for a drink anytime!
Can I get a to-go cup?
Of course! Your cup is now to go.
Oh, okay.
With you.
Cool. Thanks. It's like a novelty mug.
Is it? You tell me.
Sure.
Your double IPA beer mug.
I'll say it's for the brand of beer that it is.
Sure. It's a double masked double IPA.
Yeah.
I love it. At the House of a Thousand Masks, you head out and the streets are rough. There are violent dreams alight in the night. How would you like to try to get from here to where you need to go, the Driftwood Tavern? Would you like to use stealth, or do you have other special magical means or other ways in which you might try to get from here to there, or are you just going to try to walk through the dreams?
I think we should go carefully.
You don't say, says Pam.
Very quiet.
I have a hard time being quiet.
Oh, really? Oh, right.
It's the armor.
Yeah, I get it. I could make like a distraction, and then we go that way.
Sounds like a plan.
Nobody else got anything?
I can cut a path, but yeah, distraction's probably safer.
All right.
Cool. There's no spells of flight or teleportation or other means by which you would like to get there. You're going to go with the distraction and march the straight fastest way there. Also, yep. You're not the stealthiest of characters, as I recall, so...
Yeah.
All right. What is this distraction, Kip?
So I can use thaumaturgy to create noises, so...
Oh, okay.
Let's see.
That's just a little cantrip. Is there anything else that you're putting behind this?
I can do more if you need me to.
Hey, I mean, there's only like an hour left of this game. I would start blowing shit up if you want to.
Go home.
He's going to cast as far away, so like 60 feet away, he's going to cast Shatter, which causes a loud noise to ring.
Okay, yeah.
So he takes a little chip of mica, squeezes in fists, and says, "Don't fall to pieces on me." And then casts it off in the distance and it makes a loud bang.
Of course it does. What does it destroy, Fennec?
It ends up breaking several of the windows on the House of a Thousand Masks.
Oh, well, you're right there. So it's still, that travels that far. What is that thing off in the distance that it breaks and shatters and causes a commotion?
It breaks the bakery windows and the
cool, the bakery.
Door.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And Apollyon, you see two dream creatures of insubstantial darkness latch head towards it. What are these creatures?
One's a giant mushroom, and the other is a big strawberry.
A mushroom and a strawberry start rolling and chomping and hopping towards this crash. Perfect. You use this opportunity, and as other things go towards the crash site, to make a dash. Are you full out running as hard as you can, or would you like to make some form of stealth check?
Probably run, right?
Okay, yeah. Perfect.
Like, making noise, you can't really stealth. Let's just run.
Yeah, perfect. Dun, 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 dun. I love it. Velvet, one of the two things turns as the four of you are running down the street. Is it the mushroom or the strawberry?
Oh, it's the mushroom.
Okay, perfect. The mushroom turns and espies you, and I guess it turns too hard because the whole entire cap spins off of the top of this thing. And we're picture something that is like at least 20 feet high and 40 feet across. And it comes skittering off like a frisbee and it starts spiraling towards you down the street. And the camera gets this perfect lens shot of the four of you running by as this giant mushroom bounces off the street, spores fly everywhere as it starts to come and crash in towards you. I need you all to make dexterity saving throws.
Okay. Kip rolled a 14.
Excellent. Seven. So wait, what I was going to say is, you don't have to tell me the number. I'm going to tell you what the difficulty is. And if you fail it by five, it's even worse. So the difficulty was only a 12. And if you fail that by more than five, that so in instance, if you get a 7 or less, then you would, then horrible depredations are rained upon your form. And if you beat it by more than five, like it doesn't touch you at all. So you manage. So why don't you describe for me, based upon those conditions, what happens to your character as we go tearing down the street, heading for the Driftwood Tavern?
And what is hitting us?
The mushroom cap itself. You're trying to avoid getting hit by the entire by this gigantic mushroom cap with big eyes that have glazed over in the pain of death as it's separated from the stock. And we'll go with Velvet first.
I just kind of, the reserves kick in and I just stampede down the street. It's like running of the bulls, but it's running of the shrooms and I'm the bull.
Perfect. Yes.
Doesn't touch me.
Bull and shroom. And doesn't touch you at all? Oh, I love it. Okay, great. And Fennec.
So in her haste to outrun this, Mal trips on a cobblestone, and as she's starting to fall, the mushroom hits her in the back, which causes her to twist and fall this way, so then she gets it full on, like, face of mushroom, and then it bounces off to the next.
Oh no, and it's one of those, like, hallucinogenic mushrooms. You take 12 points of damage, and you need to make a constitution saving throw. What happens to Kip?
He, like, kind of, like, almost a Scooby-Doo run and like just happens to narrowly avoid it where like probably some spores are coming out after him.
And does he manage to evade it?
He got a 14, so that's higher than 12.
He gets hit by some spores and takes some bashing damage. Nothing worthwhile, like 2 points of bashing damage as he gets away. And Pam is not touched at all. Pam is out front of Velvet, leading the way to the Driftwood Tavern. As we turn the camera back to Melancholy, who's picking herself up off the street. How did you do in your constitution saving throw?
Natural 20, thankfully. Oh,
hallucinogens. Bah.
So she just, like, wipes some of the goo off her vest and is like,
oh, this mushroom goo. I love it.
Can we maybe next time go somewhere where there are not mushrooms?
Is the shroom down for the count or was able to get up after losing the cap?
Oh, it was dead when the cap flew off, the dream version of whatever this is. We are pressed for time, so there would have been more combat, more things to encounter on the road, but they are dealt with already in the evening. Some other creatures have dispatched these other dream beasts and whatnot that you would have necessarily been had to encounter as you approach the front display of the Driftwood Tavern. If anyone in Twitch chat would like to describe what the other two buildings on either side of it are, they have turned into crazy versions of themselves. But the Driftwood Tavern, if you have been there before, and possibly you have, Kip, and you have worked there, you can tell me what the front of the Driftwood Tavern looks like.
It looks kind of like a fisherman's shack where it's got like the nets kind of like laid out, and it's definitely got the kitschy, like everything's made out of driftwood. So some stuff that probably shouldn't be made out of driftwood is there, and it's definitely got a very nautical theme to it.
I can hear the nautical theme playing in my head as I envision it with its like the life preservers hanging on the outside, ships ahoy sort of things, and the pretend coral and reef and whatnot hanging from the netting. I love it.
I think I just accidentally described the Krusty Krab.
Yes. Yar. I'm not good at descriptions. As we, no one in chat has said anything, so Velvet, what's one of the buildings next to it? And what's the crazy thing that's going on there?
It's actually a bait shop called the Chum Bin. And there's just and chum like crazy flooding out happened. The windows.
Oh, yep, that's crazy. I did a game where I got to invite Velvet to come up with the craziest things she could think of. That's what I did. And Fennec, what does Melancholy see on the left-hand side?
So it's this fabric shop, but somehow, like, the bolts of fabric have, like, shot up out of the roof and, like, are floating over onto the street. And there's, like, what look to be medieval sewing machines, like, trying to run up this mountain of fabric while being chased by little scissors.
What is the name of this shop?
Mark Ann's.
Cool. I like it. Awesome. A couple of dude bros step out of the chum shop. They are covered in chum, and they're like, arms are around each other's shoulders, and they're just chumming up and just like, dude, bro, I love you, man. Love you too. They look at Kip Radical. And both, and they give him finger guns, but because their arms are around each other, they're literally they finger guns at the same time with the only hands of free and available to them. And they're like, dude. Oh, right. I need you to make a wisdom saving throw,
oh, Kip. No. He's not good at wisdom. And oh, that's a 10?
We have the other die you could use.
I didn't think about it.
Yep. Okay, so how did you do?
10.
I take 8 dream damage as well.
Oh, no.
Okay. Oh. Kip, you have worked here before at this tavern. What was your job that you had at this tavern?
He was probably like the fry cook.
Fry cook? Oh, I love it. Short order worked the fryer. And something terrible happened here that led to your not working here anymore. It doesn't have to be something that you did. You don't have to get blamed for it or anything like that. But it definitely led to the end of your time here. But what was the terrible thing that happened at this tavern that caused you to leave?
It was definitely his fault. He was cooking and he was like kind of daydreaming and he kind of started a grease fire.
Ooh.
Oh my goodness. And describe for me what happened with this grease fire.
Well, it started burning. He thought, well, fire, water. So he threw water on it and it just got bigger and it almost burnt half of the place down.
Okay, when you walk in, the half of the place that was burned down is currently almost burned down. And you can see a figure standing there in the tavern, trying to make repairs to the burned state of the tavern.
Shit, ghost.
Hello?
The figure turns. Let's describe this figure. They are what race, Rich?
I'm gonna say, oh my god, it's right on the tip. I'll just go with half. I think that'll be interesting.
Cool. They are a halfling. I like it. What are they wearing, Fennec?
You're muted.
Sorry. There we go. Fix that now. They are wearing like the cut, like short jean shorts, like the booty kind of style shorts with like a tank top.
Cool. I love it. A tank top and booty shorts. What does the booty shorts say across the back? Because you can read it right away, Fennec.
Hot booty.
Okay, yeah. It doesn't seem 80s enough, especially not the real Ghostbusters enough, but I can picture that. I can picture the cartoon version of this figure. Okay, and Velvet, you know what? I already have an idea about how this person acts and talks and whatnot. So there are some sleepers in the room. Why don't you describe some of those sleepers for me, or just give me a general description of what the tavern's inside looks like with this half-burned state.
It's kind of, the front stage is really being taken by two dreamers who are playing Battleship, but the ships are in a bottle.
I love it. Yes. The figure turns around, kicks the bottle away and says, hello!
Hello?
It's time to work it and work it and work it and run and run and work it and jump and turn and twist.
No thank you?
No, silly, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Let's go!
This is exhausting.
If you don't push yourself, who will?
Do you have a name?
I am Loraz, the dreamer.
Where's Pam right now?
Pam is outside. Doesn't look like Pam stepped into the building when you give a quick look around.
Do you know a Pam?
Of course I know Pam, but isn't it great? It's great to be awake. It's great. It's great to be awake. Now run in the spot as fast as you can! And the little halfling starts to run and run and run.
Mal leans back to where she can is talking to Apollyon and Kip. How do we get them to go to sleep?
Do you think Pam meant sleep like, and she'll like punch the palm of her gauntlet with the other gauntlet? Or sleep and then hold up the axe?
I think the first.
So Kip is gonna cast slow.
Okay.
On the res. Okay. So he takes the molasses and he goes, take it easy.
I have a 16 on the die. What is the difficulty to
15.
All right, then I've definitely beaten that. He's like, I am taking it easy, but you need to work it off.
I do not like
I
this.
Believe in you. You can do anything if you put your mind and your heart to it.
Maybe we get them drunk, pass out.
Maybe. That's mushroom goo. I don't have anything on me. Do either of you have a drink on you?
We're in a tavern.
Oh. Right. Loraz, would you like to have a drink with us?
You can see Loraz is sweating buckets. Like, just living is an ordeal, and being awake is an ordeal for them. And they're like, because they're constantly moving and in a constant state of marching and exercising and trying to challenge you to push up contests and everything else possible that Richard Simmons in the heyday of his, cult of personality would do, because that's really the personality I'm trying to channel here, and this is the biggest hair I had. So, it's at the perfect moment. So he is just wild and crazy and does not seem to want to settle down. How would you like to deal with that? You want to get him a drink? What else?
You want to do shots? That's how you celebrate.
We'd tire him out.
You can do him quick.
Let me try something. Please hold still. And on still, she casts hold person as she pulls out a small piece of iron. So it's a wisdom save of 14.
I have a 15 total on that. I apologize. Looks like that grumble. One did not work either. Hold person.
Grumble, grumble, grumble. It's fine.
So do any of you start to work out with Loraz as Loraz is going through the motions and doing their thing? Jazzercising, exercising.
I think we'll have to beat him at his own game.
Oh, those joy. Horns look heavy. You should pick them up.
They're falling off my head. Apollyon is gonna, for the first time in history, once again, strip off the armor.
Oh my god!
Wow,
okay,
she's got a barbarian leather, so it's okay.
Oh baby,
are you wearing a 1980s onesie workout suit underneath your armor?
Yeah, so it's like purple wine like leotard.
Yes. If you didn't have inspiration, I would give it to you again.
Are we recreating that like horrible 80s workout video?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
No, they aren't horrible. They're amazing at the time. This is cutting edge stuff.
Crazy. They won't stay anymore.
Okay, perfect. You strip the armor off. You're wearing the unitard. Maybe you actually weren't wearing the unitard, but in the dream world that other people are imposing, you are wearing your purple white, your purple leotard with the sweatbands and everything. Do you have the high boots with the fur ruff?
I've got hooves.
Yeah. With the fur ruff. It's perfect.
Challenge.
What are you doing?
Push-up contest.
Mal will start doing push-ups with them, although she's really bad at it. She's only got like a 10 strength, so I was like, can we just, you need to sleep.
But I don't want to sleep. I've been asleep for so long. All I want to do is run and play and live. Don't you want to live? Isn't that what life is about? It's living.
Not like this.
Kip is definitely in on this push-up contest.
You don't have to do the most. You just have to do your best.
That's not a contest, though.
Life isn't a contest. Life is worth living. And we all do our best. And as long as you're competing with yourself, who else do you have to really compete with? Oh my god. Why is Richard Simmons in front side of me? Okay. So, you start playing the same game as Loraz, and I don't doubt you're trying to persuade him to go back to sleep. So before you make persuasion checks, and use your inspiration on doing so or not, because we're not near the end of the game yet. So I will give you advantage if you give me some great persuasive color in the description of what you're trying to do. We'll start with whoever wants to go first.
Okay, so this might not be great.
I love it already.
Kid's gonna walk over and like put his arm around Loraz and be like, so like that volcano, man, it melts stuff, kills people, and sends them out of their homes. And isn't that like sad? And like there's like these corrupt people, and they tax people too much, and they take that money and they use it for their own ill-gotten gains, and like there's people starving in the world.
Oh my god, you're horrible.
Doesn't that just make you want to like curl up in a ball and sleep?
Oh my god, yes. You may roll with advantage and don't tell us what the total is. We're going to move on.
Is this
allow
persuasion?
Velvet. Yeah, of course. Velvet, how will you persuade Loraz to go back to sleep?
Oh, my plan was just to tire him out. Persuasion.
Yes. Persuasion by exhaustion.
I think as far as persuasion by exhaustion, I'll just try to keep one-upping them, see if they follow suit.
It seems like they don't challenge themselves. They're just trying to challenge you to challenge yourself. So is there anything that Apollyon says to Loraz or connects to with the like the importance of what it is for Loraz, what it means for Loraz to be asleep? How would you, you know, impart that unto Loraz?
I think maybe I'll just wander over to a window. I assume they're dirty in the Driftwood Tavern. I think I'll just...
Yeah, sure.
I'll just punch out a window, like Fonzie hit in the jukebox, so he can see, like, all these giant fruit kaiju destroying the town.
Nice. All right, yes, you may make your persuasion check. What do you say, though? You say one or three... You say, like, a three-word sentence or whatever it is that Apollyon, who's always short of words, says.
Once I punch it, I'll just be like, I love this. The townsfolk do not.
That's great. You may make your roll with advantage as well on a persuasion check. Velvet, you feel a toad crawling around in the back of your leotard. Okay, we move on to Melancholy. Fennec, what does Melancholy say or do to help persuade Loraz?
So after Melancholy gets herself off the floor and just... Listen, I understand you like being awake, and that's great, but life has a balance. Right now, you're forcing the townspeople to live out of balance. They're asleep. They do not deserve this. So you need to do your duty and go back to bed.
That's firm, but nice and pleasant. I like it. You may have advantage on your persuasion check as well. Now, this is like a feat of strength. Persuasion in this instance has to beat a threshold because this is a persuasion challenge, like you're knocking down a door. That's literally what you're trying to do. You're trying to knock down the door of Loraz's effervescent need to be awake and alive in the material plane, feeling it with the same sort of vigor that Richard Simmons does. And so the difficulty here is a total of 42 that you need to break down the walls of Loraz to try to convince him to go back to sleep. So our first number came from Rich. What was your advantage score that you got on the higher die?
13.
13. Great. We move now to Apollyon. How did you do on your advantage check?
Our inspiration is a D6, right?
Inspiration is you get to roll with advantage.
Oh, okay. Oh, I got a 16.
But you already had advantage. A 16 total?
Yes.
All right. That puts us to 29. All you need is 11 in order to... Or did I say 42? Did I say 40 or 42?
You said 42.
Yeah, 42.
42. So the podcast will correct me. Because we're recording. So you need a 13 in order to succeed. How did you do, Fennec?
I got a 25 after modifiers. Yeah. Bard's gonna bard, yo.
You've succeeded handily. And Loraz's shoulders slump. His little halfling frame, he kicks at the floor. His eyes get that sad expression, the puppy dog look, as he says, You're right, of course. But it was really a fine time while I was here. I guess I'll head back to..." And as he goes to say the word sleep, and he turns to go lay down somewhere, or maybe just curl up where he is, the door explodes inward, and in strides none other than Leth himself.
Curses, not Leth.
Why, I say, what do you think you're doing here?
Fixing the balance. That's what we're doing.
Putting what right? What has gone wrong?
That's awesome line. This isn't a Quantum Leap episode.
Yet.
Leth strides in. He is not the 8-foot tall creature you saw before. He has shrunk considerably. He is probably only 6 feet tall at the top of his hat. He comes striding in and he says, I say, that's enough out of you. And he points not at Apollyon. This time he knows better. He points instead at Fennec, and he says, "Sleep." And I need you to make a wisdom saving throw.
10.
Okay, you have failed. And now the cool thing happens. If you're watching in stream, whoa, Kyle is messing everything up. If you're watching in stream, I have an item, an artifact here. It is, let's see if I can do this. It is a mask. Ooh. Oh, look at that. If you don't move, you have a mask over your head. You are masked up, and that means your character has fallen asleep. But while your character's form slumps to the ground, that doesn't mean that your character is gone from the moment. Your character is in a dream state and is still effective, but there's some color associated with that we will get to in a moment. What happens now is it is now initiative, and Rich Kip is the first to go, and then Velvet, followed by Leth, and then Fennec. So what would you like to do, Rich?
Kip is going to look at Leth, and he's going to cast Evard's Black Tentacles.
Nice. So, describe that for me. What is that? What happens there?
So he looks at Leth, pulls out a tentacle of a giant squid, squeezes his hands, does tentacle fingers, and goes, "You're cracking me up."
So, and what is the effect here? What?
So that takes a 20-foot square on the ground is filled with black tentacles, and it says when a creature enters the affected area for the first time or starts its turn there, they must make a dexterity saving throw or take 3d6 bludgeoning damage.
Okay, and this will happen to Pam and to anybody else in the square as well?
Yeah, in just the area? Any creature.
Any creature, okay, cool. All right, well, Pam and Leth are in there right now, and I would think that based on the size of this room, there's a couple sleepers that are in there, and Laraz might be in there as well.
Oh, okay. Whoops.
All right. Would you... okay, yeah. Would you like to spend your inspiration and have this, instead of being on the ground, being on the roof, and it's something that can only reach... any creatures that are standing in the area?
Sure.
Because Laraz is currently laying on the ground and Pam is currently thrown to the ground as well. So it would only really impact the standing figure of Laraz.
That sounds awesome. I would love to have
Okay.
that.
Then let's do that. Cool. All right. Your inspiration is spent, and I am glad to help you in that, because I look on your face was like, I don't want to hurt the peoples.
Not to okay. peoples.
That was Kip's turn. We now move to Apollyon. Apollyon, what do you do?
I can rage as a bonus action, correct?
Of course.
I would like to rage.
How do you rage?
I will headbutt the blunt side of my axe this time.
Oh my god, okay.
And I'll take a... No, I'm going to go straight for the overhead chop, because I don't like their hat.
Cool. frogs circle around your head from the dazing of your smashing your head into your own axe. And then what do you do with your strike? How does it go? Just to let everybody know, the armor class on this creature is a 16.
I rolled a 19. I think I'm just going to lift it straight up and come down.
Yeah, okay, perfect. You pick it up, you bring it straight down, and how much damage do you do?
It's 8 on the die, 5 for my strength bonus, plus 2 for rage, and I'm going to dump a searing smite into it for 3 flame damage.
A searing smite? Cool. You're a paladin now?
I got that from my bloodline.
Ah, I love it. Cool. All right, you dump the searing smite in there. How much damage did you do total?
Total, that is 18.
And it's magical too, from your magical weapon, correct?
My weapon is magical, so I don't know if it would be
The smites, the magic. Okay, well, the magic bears into Laraz, turns the whole attack into something, and he cries, not Laraz, Leth. And Leth cries out in pain and says, oh, damn it! Damn it all! Oh, that strike was finger-licking good, or something akin to that. I don't really know how Colonel Sanders speaking. I'm trying to be as the big chicken from Looney Tunes as I possibly can.
Oh, what's
his name? I'll say.
Foghorn Leghorn.
Foghorn Leghorn. Yes, that's Leth for you. Okay, that was Apollyon's turn. Is there anything else you would like to do? Okie doke. Then we move on to Leth himself. He will point at Kip, and he will say, lay down and go to sleep, boy. You bother me. And you need to make a wisdom saving throw.
That's
you
have 7.
Spent your inspiration. You cannot save again on that. All right, you failed. I will place the mask upon you as well, sir. Let's see if I can... Oh, Kyle. Grabbing the display. Now grab Rich. There we go. See, I put this on you. No, I tried to put a mask on you.
Bob and weave.
It's awesome if you guys can stay still, hey?
We all move.
Right. I move it back off. The mask is there in the corner as you also slump to the ground, sound asleep. And Leth says, now it's just the two of us. Now it's just the two of us, boy. I'm a deal with you in person. And he starts to remove his belt as a good old Southern parental figure would do. And now we turn to Mal's turn. Mal, you're asleep and you're dreaming. And while we all know that melancholy is kind of an idle dream of Fennec's, and that melancholy is able to do things that Fennec is not able to do, you're aware of the fact that you are now asleep and you have entered into a dream state, which allows you to possibly control your dreams. And so I would like to know, what are melancholy's dreams? And also the fact that a long time ago, melancholy fell into the dreamlands before and fought her way out tooth and nail and horn and claw. So if you could tell me a little bit about what happened back then when you fell into the dreamlands and fought your way out, that will lead us to you seeing Kip asleep but not at the end of that, and describe for me the cool crazy stuff you're capable of doing when you are in control of your own lucid dream.
So the first time it happened, it was she accidentally was practicing a spell and did it wrong and sent herself there. So she ended up in her worst nightmare, which was a bunch of these skeletal hellhounds with blue flames wrapped all around them chasing her. So she had to fight her way out by punching and kicking and clawing at them. So, and now whenever she's lucid dreaming, there's blue flames covering her hands and her feet to represent the power that she's taken.
Oh, so, wow.
She looks and she flexes and is like, oh, this is going to be fun. And
how did you escape from the dreamlands that last time, though? What is it you did?
She ended up falling. But right before she fell, she punched herself to wake herself up. Instead of because the old adage, if you fall in your dreams, you hit the ground, you die. So she's like, well, let's try this.
Cool. And when you punched yourself, you came to and you stopped falling, right? Of course. But you didn't wake up immediately then. And you somehow then ripped a hole in the fabric of the dreamland. How did you do that?
She sort of saw like this beam of light coming through. Ooh. And she just went like this and just started tearing it
apart. At the beam of light itself. Oh, that's amazing. Well done. Great. So, you're asleep in the dreamlands. The blue fiery wolves are circling again, but you know what to do, and that is what?
She just yells, "Be gone," and they just disappear.
Cool. I think the beam of light has to be involved, doesn't it, in some capacity? Yeah. How do you bring that beam of light to bear?
She claps her hands together and then just pulls them apart, and the light just kind of, almost like it's lightning, just flickers in between it.
Yes, I love it. That's great. Cool. Yeah. Kip, you can see light from somewhere in front of you. You don't know where you are. What is the worst dream that Kip has ever had?
He's on a calm ocean, surrounded by multiple copies of his parents laughing at him.
Oh, no.
Where he's just trying to do, like, a simple math problem, and he can't figure it out.
Kip, you're not wearing something currently, are you?
No.
Do you want to take it off?
He has to take off the bandana, oh no!
I love it. Okay, yes. Oh god, you can have inspiration again just for that. I felt that, I don't know how to do this test, and they're making me do it. Moment. Oh, that's gorgeous. Okay, yes, the people are laughing at you and chuckling. You hear someone crying, Fennec. They're not far away, but you cannot see them because you're not in a shared dream state with them. And when you make the searing light appear in your hands, what do you do with it?
She forms it into a ball and then shoots it out at the wolves that are surrounding her.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you made the wolves be gone already with the light.
Oh, that's right.
So how do you connect you from your dreamland dreamscape to this person who's crying near you?
So she holds the light in one hand, and with the other, she kind of does that like Doctor Strange circle.
Ooh,
to kind of like open up a portal and jump in.
All right. You see a new figure appear, Rich. Kip sees them appear. Fennec, you see a light, a beam of light in your hand, of course, because that's what your image is. But Kip, you see in this person's hand that bandana that so eludes you in your dreams, that thing that makes you who you are.
He's going to turn his surfboard to face them and just start paddling.
Oh, what, do you say anything?
Nope, just crying.
All right. A small child that looks not unlike Kip, because you know what's wonderful? You're all tieflings and you're all really unique individuals. Even as child, you're like, oh yeah, still same color, still same type of horns, still same tail. Paddling forward towards you on a surfboard. You know who this is. They are asleep, but it is no longer your turn. It is Apollyon's turn in the real world. Before Apollyon goes, I forgot one thing, and that is you need to roll the damage for the black tentacles upon the roof that have lashed out to Leth.
They have to first make a dexterity saving throw.
Oh, yeah, he failed that.
Okay, so that is 13 damage.
Perfect, thank you. All right, Apollyon, what happens? What do you do with your turn?
As it came down, I'm going to use the momentum to swing it back around and go for a side swipe this time, side slash.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, okay. You go for a side slash. Do you say anything to them? To Leth, you see that your comrades have all been put to sleep and slumber. It is just you and you alone.
I think in the rage state, it's just shouting, not even aimed at anyone specifically.
I mean, you don't really have to do that. There's no requirement for you, but I mean, that's a perfect choice to make as for color for your character. Yeah. Violent, angry, nonsensical words. Please give me a few of those.
Just frustrating. I can't yell because people are asleep, but she's specifically very upset that she couldn't fight the fruit kaiju.
So all we hear are fruit kaiju, and you can also kind of hear bud, wise, but that's faint and you don't quite make it out. All right. Did your strikes hit?
Yes, 19.
Damage or total?
No, 19 to hit, and then total damage, that's So 12 regular damage and then 9 magic damage from a branding smite.
You can do the branding smite how many times?
I can do one branding smite and one searing smite. I'm out of those now.
Oh, you're done with your smites. Yeah. It's all you've got. It's all kaput here. With that 21, with that 31. Youch. Okay. Yep. That's where we're at. We turn back to the Dreamlands where we have Mal and Kip. There is a moment of a scene for the two of you before Leth goes on. It's Leth's turn, and Leth is going to try to take your axe from you, Apollyon. He will slide into your personal space and he will try to use a dexterous disarming move, kind of like a monk would use to strip you of your weapon. But I rolled a 2, so he has failed at that, and it looks like he's just giving you a hug.
I don't know if this counts as an attack. I used Reckless Attack, which would give him an advantage on an attack.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that definitely is accounting as an attack as he tries to... Oh my god, another 2.
Just okay.
Just a little light hug, and he steps back, does not end his turn in your 5-foot square. This isn't that sort of game. Fennec and Kip, it's your turn. What would you like to do?
So Mal, seeing Kip coming towards her, is going to just walk across the water and hold out the hand with the light.
I love it.
And just be
yes.
Like,
come she's on, she's offering friend. You it's her light, Kip.
Grab
the bandana.
I guess, but like kind of almost reaches through it and grabs Mal's hand.
Okay, yeah.
I could see like as he does that, he kind of transforms back into his adult self.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, okay.
And he's wearing the bandana.
Okay, so you saw the bandana in Mal's hand. You reach through it, and in so doing, take the bandana unto yourself. Mal, you can see instead of a bandana, it's a glowing circlet of light around his head. And then when you think about the shard of light that's in your hand, it's actually something that's precious and important to you. What is that thing that's important to your character that calls to you who your true self is?
It's her lyre that her mentor gave her.
Perfect. That's what it genuinely is. And the two of you, are you holding hands still or are you separate?
Probably still holding hands, right?
Still holding hands, being like, are you ready to go and kick somebody's ass?
Definitely.
Okay, so now you are your not just your normal selves, you are your true dream selves. What is it that Kip dreams to be in his best dreams? What is it that Melancholy dreams herself to be in her best dreams? Please describe that for me as you enter the waking realm in your dream state.
Do you want to go first?
Yes, it is Mal's turn.
So Mal, it's surprisingly, it's this like light blue dress, but it looks almost like the Greek style, the older kind of ancient Greek dress with the flower crown going all in her hair and holding her lyre and just this grin of, I have my power back. I know what I can do.
Okay. Is she taller?
She's a little bit taller. So, but
is
not
her
by
clothing much. Immaculate?
It is immaculate. It's like the finest silks you could ever think of.
Cool. Does she have a really kick-ass cape that has stars all over it or something?
So instead of stars, it's different music notes with flowers kind of wrapped around them.
Okay. And your lyre is carved with intricate, amazing runes of magical power. It is an instrument of the bards, and it is powerful. And the mace in your hands has turned into a large morning star that you can wield one-handed that glows with the radiance of the blackness of hell, I guess?
Yeah.
Cool. What do your horns look like?
So they're larger. They're about this big.
Oh my goodness. Okay, yeah. And they spiraled again or just
and
still
they spiraled
the
again Ooh. And they still have there's a bunch of flowers wrapped around them too. So
yeah, the most expensive flowers, no doubt, right?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Of course.
Yes. All right. You stand there. What do you say all theatrically? The cleric bard of you?
It's time for you to go to fucking sleep.
I love it. All right. Rich Kip steps forth. What does perfect Kip, dream Kip, look like?
So he, like, steps forth and he was wearing a shirt, but it like just kind of like just rips off of him. And his muscles are just a little bit more defined, and his skin is glistening like he just got a fresh oil. And his tattoos, his blue tattoos, are like moving like they're almost like the ocean, like pulses.
Oh wow!
Come almost in time to his heartbeat. And yeah, he's probably like 7'2". His hair is like even more gloriously gold and flowing
and thicker,
and it's blowing in a breeze that does. I don't know where it came from. And his horns are the typical that come out and then hook up, and they're covered in flowers. And little bees are flying around the flowers. And his shorts are, they look like typical board shorts, but they're covered in surfing trophies and also like mathlete trophies.
Wow. Okay. Yes, mathlete trophies. I love it. The patches of mathlete trophies from all the math awards you've won.
Sure.
Okay. Malangali, what's the perfect spell that your character would cast? And Kip, what is the biggest spell that you would think you would be able to cast? And Apollyon, you see these two dreamers, like they're perfect. You know who they are. You know that this is the perfect version of their dream self. What do you do, the three of you?
So she's going to like run her hand across her lyre and use that as her focus to cast Guiding Bolt.
Is that the biggest, most powerful spell that you could possibly cast as a, like a 20th level bard cleric?
I was going to say she could cast Polymorph on Loth and turn him into something tiny.
Baleful Polymorph. Perfect. I love that. Yeah, okay, that's a great one to try. Why don't you think about the words of that? Also, chat, if you've got anything you know of, like a 20th level character could cast that would be the most powerful thing. I don't doubt the players might need some help with that sort of stuff, but I really like the Baleful Polymorph. Rich, what is Kip going to do?
Kip is going to summon a giant watery sphere around him, but it's gonna be like pulsing with light.
Okay, what spell is this? Is it just an invention spell of your own creation?
It's kind of like a combination of, there's watery sphere and lightning bolt, so it's kind of like a combination of those, like melding them together.
Okay, you are Aang the Last Airbender, and you've combined two of your four elements of power. What is this spell called that 20th level Kip has created? And while you come up with that, Mal, what is the color of Baleful Polymorph when you cast the spell? What are the command magical power words that you say?
So it's this dark purple beam that she shoots out, and the command is Change by Hell's Command.
Oh, okay.
She's going to attempt to turn Leth into a sheep because it's dreams and stuff.
That's perfect. I love it. Cool. Kip, do you got what this spell is called? This ball of electro death?
It's called the Ocean Tempest.
I dig it.
I love it. All right. Apollyon, what do you do? Because before all of these attacks happen, you are right there in front of Leth, and you get to have a big attack. You've already done your two big searing smites. I didn't get the color from you as to what you say or do that allows this to be a smite. What is it that causes this extra damage when you sear and brand? Is it something that runs down your hands and through your instrument? What is it that happens for these brands, these smites?
I think it's definitely the tiefling, the real power behind the bloodline that comes through, where like the veins pop and her like hands turn into claws and the eyes grow like bright yellow.
Cool. And it's just a rippling extra amount of damage you do from pure muscle. Okay. I love it. And especially in your purple leotard, you tear the purple leotard in appropriate places to show your hulking out quality. I love it. Cool. Okay. The strike lashes out. Dream Malangali, of course, easily can defeat an archfey. Dream Kip can easily defeat an archfey. Leth sees all of that about to happen, time slows down as your blast rolls towards him to shrink him into a sheep, as this ball of water covers and contains this sheep and just constantly zaps it, and you get that perfect color of the cartoon. The sheep is inside this ball of water, and you see the bones of the sheep every time the lightning strike hits it over and over and over again. Very slowly, the sheep looks at all of you and says, fine, I'm noping out of this. I'm done. Fine, I'm noping out of this. I'm done. Can't get no breaks. And at that point, Laraz falls asleep. Their eyes close. He puts his thumb in his mouth and aww, he tuckers himself out, and the dream world washes away. And you are standing there in your corporeal form as Leth, the archfey of dreams, the sandman of the dreamlands, leaves this plane, and you have saved the day. Pam is outside, standing there awake, and Laraz is asleep. And if anybody has caught that, those two names together are Laraz Pam or Laraz Pam, which is a general anesthetic. For those of you playing along at home,
I dig it.
You have saved the day. That is the end of this adventure. Maria is still back at the Mask of 1,000 Faces, or the House of 1,000 Masks, if you wish to talk to her. I'm Kyle. That is the end for me. I will pass this over to all of the players to do an epilogue of their choosing, describing any undone laces of this game to tie off any loose ends and let everyone know where they can find them. But first, I would just like to once again say thank you to chat. If anybody's out there watching and hanging out with us tonight, this was crazy adventure. I don't know if I'm going to do cartoons again anytime soon, especially 20-minute cartoons. I just want to point out the way that the Ghostbusters defeated the bad guy was that the receptionist, she fell asleep. And when she went to sleep, her dream, of course, was to be a Ghostbuster. So she turned into a Ghostbuster, and she's the one who defeated Sandman. So I hope that we have brought that to play in this adventure today, written by none other than Rich Dresden, with a little few changes by myself to help this along. I hope that you have all had a ton of fun. Rich's look on his face is like, did I write this? And I couldn't have done it without you, Rich. So thank you to Rich. Thank you to my wife, my daughter, and my friend Chelsea for your beautiful art and the video at the beginning. I wouldn't have this show and this overlay without Jess, who is at Burst of Hope on Twitter. Follow her. She's amazing. She does wonderful things. And my players are always the stars of the show, and we wouldn't do a show at all if we didn't have people in chat hanging out and enjoying it. So hopefully there are a few people there and having some fun. But please take the time to follow them on Twitter, these three people above my head here. They are well and above my talent level and skill set. I basically just ask them questions and they come up with all the color. I don't really do a lot of imaginative stuff in this game. It's all on them. And so please give them a follow. Check out the things that they're doing. They're amazing people. This game is over for me. I now turn it over to Rich, then Velvet, then Fennec to close it all out.
Hello, I'm Rich. I'm at Quixotic on all the social medias. You can find me on the audio drama Fangirls and the most recent episode of Fangirling that just came out, I think a couple of days ago or last week. Time is weird. And I don't know if I can announce it, but there might be another audio drama that I'm in that might have been resurrected from a long hiatus. So I'll keep that under wraps just in case I'm not allowed to say anything.
Cool. I'm excited to hear about that when you are allowed to say stuff.
Same.
But yes, it is coming back.
Okay. I'll pass it on.
Thank you guys for joining us. I'm Velvet. You can find me on the interwebs at OG Brown Sugar, as well as The Mother of Monsters on Stories of a Broken Son, Mom Friend Christy on Fangirls, and Anarchy on Flight Risk.
Right, so I'm Fennec. You can find me at the Fennec Wolf on just about everything on the interwebs. You can also find me in the Land Above podcast and the In Vain While Purgish Knocked Vaughn podcast, and I do stuff with Nerdsmith too. Come check us out at nerdsmith.org. And again, thank you for Kyle for being our amazing DM and taking player safety into consideration, just making sure to look out for all of us and being an awesome dude.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you back here next week for episode 9. The conclusion image will have all of the details in regards to that. And until then, keep the balance. Good night.
Bye.
This has been Morty's Devils, a weekly podcast captured from the Season 1 Twitch.tv livestream actual play Dungeons & Dragons game using episodes from 1970s, 80s, and 90s dramatic television as our inspiration for adventure. Interested in finding out more about Morty's Devils? Find us on Twitter at Morty's Devils or send an email to taverntalesdm@gmail.com. Season 2 will begin airing soon on August 30th on twitch.tv/unmadegaming at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Hope to see you there. The theme song for Morty's Devils is Let the Night Fall from Dragonette's 2016 Royal Blue album. Interested in their music? Check them out on iTunes or on Twitter at Dragonette, or find them online at www.dragonetteonline.com. Morty's Devils is a Tavern Tales production, and in Morgan Kynan's words, keep the balance.